Welcome, Jets fans, to another review episode of the Jet Stream. We are here today to have a look back on round 21 where the Newcastle Jets travelled to Melbourne to play the victory and came away with 3 points following a 2-0 win against the reigning premiers and, well, team that are right up the top of the table. And joining me tonight to have a look back at that game are two of our regular contributors. Luke, how are you?
I'm good, Dave. How are you?
Good, thank you, mate. And Matt, how are you?
Fantastic. Thanks,
Terrific
Dave.
After Luke, a good win, mate?
It was surprising, but I'll be honest. I was hedging my bets. I didn't want to bet against them, that's for sure.
Very good. Well, before we talk about the game, let's get into the opening question as per usual. And this isn't a bit of the theme of Dimi Petratos over the weekend, Luke. Top bins, postage stamped. That last strike of the game, the second goal that Jets scored. What was the last thing you posted, mate? I told you it was random.
Last thing before the goal, or...?
Yeah, what's the last thing you put in the post?
So we're not talking social media posts. We're talking literally posted.
What is the last physical thing you put in a post box and posted?
Jesus.
Come on,
Matt. Bloody hell. Last physical thing I put in a post. Yeah, last physical thing I probably put in a post box was a half-eaten pie.
Mm-hmm. Explain.
There was no stamp on it. The pie was pretty garbage, and I was on the way home one night.
Did you send a return to sender?
Absolutely not.
All right. Well, that's not quite what I was looking for. But Luke, what about you?
Mine's going to be something really boring. Like, it's not a pie. It'd probably be like when we were posting Jets memberships a few years back.
That long?
That's
you haven't
fun.
Posted Christmas cards? You haven't posted eBay items or anything like that?
No, I'm a millennial. We do stuff on the internet.
All right. Okay. Good for you. Well, last
yeah. please don't come on address it, Dave, because I'm pretty sure it was a crime.
Yeah. Well, mate, the last thing that I posted was actually some passport applications. So, yeah, I don't know. Look, we're struggling. If you've got an opening question suggestion, you can see that we're clearly struggling. Reach out, please. guys, let's talk about this game. But before we do, let's have a listen to the highlights.
A warm welcome to Geelong, and boy, it is warm as well, but there is also a bit of heat on last year's grand final protagonist Victory and the Jets here this evening. Simply put, anything but a win for Victory will probably mean waving adieu to the premiership. He's around Donachie. A little grab at his shirt. It's a good ball as well. Really intelligent play by the Jets, and O'Donovan just trying to guide it into that far corner. Didn't quite get it right, but it was Newcastle's best moment of the match so far. Played together just 7 minutes all season together. Here's Barbarousis, and he thumps it back off the post. Glenn Moss, to be fair to him, will probably say he had it all those angles covered. And Barbarousis very close from an acute angle. Honda blindsided. A few out for Barbarousis. Here's Honda. Steadies himself. Honda! Oh, great save, Moss. And denies Keisuke Honda for the second time. And that's what that one's a lot better than the first. Flicks off the head of Deng. Georgievski first to it. And a chance for Yugarkovic. And he gets a second bite. Must be. It is. Johnny Katrumbis. Unmarked. Fires it into the net. Newcastle lead. And it's an unlikely source that provides it. Johnny Katrumbis. Trotters had a swing in it, then Yugarkovic! Oh, that's a fine save by Lawrence Thomas. And he had to get down smartly and put a strong right arm out to deflect it behind for a corner. Dimi Petratos! Oof, well, that was moving. And it'll be interesting to see on the replay just how close that was. They're queuing up Barbarousis across the face. Antonis's touch. Moss is brave. Ingen can't jab it goalwards. And then fouls Georgievski in the process. And Newcastle survive again.
Well, I mean, this is number three. This is just desperation. It's incredible. It's so high risk.
It's a useful run by Shepherd. Petratos! That is a wonderful save by Lawrence Thomas to keep Victory in the game. It's an intelligent ball by Petratos, and Shepherd is bowled over. It's going to be a card. And, of course, James Donaghy booked about 10, 15 minutes ago. Second yellow. Victory down to 10 for the second game running. And, again, it's a central defender. Niedermeyer last week, Donaghy this. Petratos again. Dimi Petratos! Oh! That is magnificent from Dimi Petratos. Pick that one out. That is game, set and match. And well might he strut towards that corner flag. Wow. That was a hit of real quality, as victory is confirmed for Newcastle over victory. A vitally important win for the Jets. Glenn Moss certainly had a big part to play. Some great saves. At time, they rode their luck. Kenny Athieu had one ruled out. But it is the Jets who maintain the rage in their bid for finals football.
There we go. There's the highlights. Thanks again to Fox Sports for the ongoing use of their audio. And if you are watching it, visual material. Luke, it was a really hot night in Geelong. And conditions, quite surprising, I thought, for late February, early March. It would have surprised the Jets and the victory probably too. And it was... It would have been difficult conditions to play the game in.
It would have. I had the joy of watching the game at West's on the weekend, and the sound was switched on for the NRL Community Shield, so we didn't get to hear a single word of anything throughout the entire A-League match. We did see in the pre-game that there were humongous mist machines to cool down everyone that was there, but yeah. I think, you know, given, you know, that we've sort of travelled around half the world really with all our extra games with the Champions League qualifiers and everything, you know, we went to Japan where it's in the middle of winter at the moment. I think the level of the heat would have surprised them a bit, and, you know, given that they have done, you know, played two extra games to what Victory have recently, it probably, you know, wasn't what the team wanted, but you know, at the end of the day, they got the results. So, yeah.
Well, look, it may have been on mute for you, but I can actually recount the pre-game material for you. Victory, 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 Jets, victory, victory, victory. So
they won't possibly lose this.
No, that was pretty much what it was. It was all victory, mate. They hardly ever mentioned the Jets. So,
who needs to talk about the lowly Jets?
Oh, exactly.
And I'm pretty sure the mist machines were just there for, like, the DEFCON dance festival that was probably going to be on the weekend after.
Well, Matt, when the lineup came out, I was pretty miffed. Seeing five at the back, I thought it was actually quite defensive, considering we were all but at full strength, being Ronnie Vargas wasn't in the team. But did it surprise you the way that Ernie Merrick decided to take this match to Melbourne?
Mate, I didn't get home from work until 25 minutes in. I've rewatched the game since then, but not really. I think that he must be listening to this pod and Bode's suggestion from last week, where he said we either need to change up the formation or change up the personnel, and so he went with the formation option. I was surprised about how far forward the wing backs were getting though. When it seemed what. Well, once I started watching it anyway, that we were regularly getting caught with sort of three at the back. The wing backs were sort of further up the field, Katrumbas and Georgeski. Maybe it was a bit of mind games between Ernie and good old Kev, as far as, you know, we're going to play five at the back, but we're really only going to play three.
I mean, what about you, Luke? Whenever I've seen the Jets play five at the back, I mean, we did it against Kashima. And we really struggled there. We had Canter deployed in that side, and I was very critical and vocal, saying that if we're going to do that, why didn't we play Lachlan Jackson there? And we did this game, and we did it against Perth, and we did it earlier in the season as well. In between those two games as well. Can't quite remember which one, but every time we've seen to play it, we've looked disorganized, we've looked confused, and I really think that this is something that, if we're working on it, it's not quite sticking yet. And personally, if we want to go that way, let's work on it in the preseason. What do you think?
I think the same. If we, you know, yeah, we're in a position where we need to sort of try and push for results week in, week out at the moment. It doesn't really seem like this is the point to be trying new stuff. Or, well, when you say trying new stuff, just try stuff that we've done before and it hasn't looked great. You know, as you said, the game against Kashima, Kenrovsky just looked caught out all game. Defensively, yes, Kashima are the Asian champions currently, but we just seem to put ourselves under a lot more pressure than we needed to be in, or that we could have been in had we done things differently. But I can't exactly pinpoint what happened, but I feel like it was around the 25th minute where we sort of made a change, and I felt like, now correct me if I'm wrong, did Georgescu swap?
That's when I got home.
Because I feel around the 25th minute, obviously they realised that Matt was watching now, and they decided, okay, we can now go and score.
Matt's home.
I recall a change happening with Jackson and Georgescu during that period there, and after that we just sort of looked from having Barbarousis go over the top down our left-hand side most of the time to we were getting a number of players forward attack after attack.
Mm. Yeah, look, it was about that time that it changed, but we were really struggling up until that time, Matt, and we were trying... I was watching the game and thought there was confusion on behalf of between Bugard and Jackson as to who was marking Kenny Atue. He positioned himself in between them both, so they were both sitting on him, I felt, at times. And the Victory were exploiting the opportunity to get in behind, particularly Johnny Katrumbas early on, who I thought looked lost. He didn't know whether to stay, whether to go. And Daniel Georgescu, at times too, was experiencing the same indecision. And I think their message was try and get in behind their fullbacks because that's where there's space. But it was actually the Victory that were doing it to us, and they were opening us up with relative ease.
Looking back at it, I think it was just their midfield was completely overrunning us in the first 25 minutes. I think by the end of the game that Canner and UG sort of got a bit of a handle on it, but it was just so how quickly they were moving the ball from through midfield and, you know, getting it up to, say, Barbarousis, who did the number on Bugard, on Topper Stanley a couple of times, which you don't see very often. A few, which, like you said, was sort of getting into good space. The wing backs didn't know whether to keep pushing forward or when to drop. And maybe that was, like you guys alluded to earlier, just we haven't trained in that sort of formation enough during the year.
The 20-minute mark that you mentioned there, Luke, we did transition, and I think that the gap that we were trying to exploit, I think we were definitely trying to hit the Victory on the counter, and we had a couple of occasions in that first 25 minutes. But if that was the case and that was what Ernie was trying to do, do you think that he picked the right team? Because personally, I don't think we had the pace to get in behind the Victory because from his selections, Dimi Petratos, Jair, they're not those, they're a trickier sort of player, but they've not got the outright pace of, say, Joe Champness, who could have exploited that space in behind from us sitting well back. Do you think he got the starting selection right in that case?
I think he did, but I guess what I was probably going to focus more on was the opposite, really, about how, yeah, you look at Kenny, you look at Barbarousis, you look at the pace they have compared to our backline, and we've seen a lot of times over the last couple of years that's our one big weakness, is that we don't really have a lot of pace really at the back. We've seen Voyager get carved up whenever someone pacey comes at him. I thought that was probably more of a reaction that, oh, we're going to change this now because they keep getting over the top of us rather than we can't get over the top of them. That's just how I took it.
Okay, that's interesting. Did you want to add anything more to that, Matt?
No, I think it was, you know, pretty much spot on. I think that Ernie was looking to make a change for the sake of making a change, even if it meant that he wasn't necessarily putting out his strongest team or his sort of strongest formation. He just knew he had to do something. And at the end of the day, after 25 minutes, when I got home, we'd had 48 completed passes. They'd had 220. But it was still nil all. And, hey, maybe that's our new tactic. If we don't touch the ball for long enough, they'll get tired passing it around between them.
Well, that was what they brought up last season when we went through our slump towards the end of the season. There was a stat going around that when we completed more passes, when we had more possession, that's when we had our, I guess, worst results. Whenever we had less of the ball, we were completing less passes. That's when we were getting the counterattack going, and that's when we were getting those wins. It was when we held the ball too long, we don't really know what to do with it. It's the quick counterattack, get the ball up there straight away. That's what was getting the results for us last year. And for the most part, I feel like similar again this year, really. You know, we haven't really had too much personnel change, especially not in the center of the park. And I don't think our style's changed too much. That, you know, there have been games where we've had 25 plus shots. And, you know, with the games that we have been allowed to keep the ball, you know, games against Perth where they have no need to really push at us because they've already got goals. And so I think that's sort of a contributing factor as well.
Well, you're certainly right with the percentage of percentage of possession, because we ended up with 30.7% possession, which is one of the lowest that we've had in recent times. I mean, you look back just a couple of weeks, we had 33% against Melbourne City, came away with a 2-0 win. The change in formation led to almost Johnny Katrumbas being shoehorned into that right wing position. Yeah, that right wing position, Petratos moving more central, and Jair to his more natural, well, his more accustomed position with the Jets on that left wing. I think all of a sudden, as you have both mentioned, we started to look a lot better, especially in the transition. And it wasn't too long before we probably created one of our better opportunities. I mean, we had some half chances with Roy O'Donovan with a tricky header, an inventive type header, I guess, that almost caught Lawrence Thomas out but was just pushed wide. But probably Jair causing some real damage down that left-hand side early on, Matt, that he managed to create some space, get a cross in, and it ended up back out with Steve Nogarkovic charging into the centre of the box, and as the ball had made its way over to the right, volleying it into the keeper, and then trying to get a bit of a touch on the follow-up, but his touch, thinking that he'd blown the chance, actually landed at Katrumbas' feet, and he put it away for the Jets for probably at that stage an undeserved 1-0 lead.
You've got to say that as much flack as Jair's sort of copped this season, players can either take that one or two ways. They're either going to go into their shell and just look for a way out and look to, you know, get transferred in the off-season. Or they're going to crack their shits, double down, and start playing for their spot in the team. And I think it's pretty clear which way Jair's gone. Like, ever since he was left out of the Champions League squad, he's been a completely different player. And I've sort of seen a couple of different reports that he's had a few niggling injuries, and maybe that's the cause of it. And, you know, if that is the reason why he wasn't able to play out a full 90 minutes earlier, then take my hat off to him, apologise, blah, blah, blah. But I think we're actually starting to see the player that we hoped we got at the start of the season. As far as the Roy chance earlier on where he sort of tried to reverse the direction of the ball in and get it to the far post, I still don't know what to make of Roy. Like, I mean, he went in for that 50-50 and beat Thomas. Dan got back to cut him out, and you need that sort of hunger in a player. But you look at the number of chances once again that he had this game, and is he good enough to be your first choice striker?
It's a fair question, and Luke, we've been debating the pros and cons of what Roy brings to the team, given that he's unsigned, and the rumours around any potential re-signing haven't really surfaced as they have other players, Glenn Moss, Nikolai Topol-Stanley, all before him. How are you seeing Roy and his contribution? Because in Jets history, the guy is a 1-in-2 striker. He's one of the most prolific strikers that we've had during our time. Yes, he hasn't been on the field for a lot of the time, but when he's on there, he does actually find the back of the net, and that's really hard to find in the A-League.
It is, and you just sort of think, you know, there have been a lot of chances that he's had this year that he hasn't taken, especially in the last couple of weeks. He had the two against Adelaide where he's just misdirected the ball. He had a couple of good opportunities on Saturday night. You've mentioned the two in the first half. He had one in the second half in particular where Dimi sort of cut the ball back to him, and he, on his left foot, he's kicked it about 20 metres high over the goal. You sort of think, you know, if he's finishing at least half these chances that he's been missing this season, he'd be on double figures already for the year, and he's only played 13 games this season. I guess in terms of our history and everything, you know, he's on 15 goals in the A-League. He's almost up the top of our all-time scorers list. Well, up to the top two, I mean, sorry. But there's also just been a lot of, you know, you've always got to hold your breath whenever he goes in for a challenge because you don't know if he's going to lash out or if he's going to cop a card that maybe someone else wouldn't because someone doesn't have his reputation in the league. So it's sort of a tough one. You know, we've created a lot of chances this season. Are we looking to change something up or are we looking to keep with what sort of worked with us for the most part in the last 2 years?
You look at his contribution because he is getting in. I mean, it can always be he is getting into these positions that he can score, which is an argument that a lot of people throw at strikers when they aren't in form, but they are taking shots essentially. Do you think that it's fair to put that at him and Matt, because he had a good finish off the bench the other week? I don't necessarily think that Kane Shepherd's up to a point where he is going to be starting ahead of Roy, but is the longer that this continues for Roy, that the more it will possibly get into his head? Or do you think that he's a striker who is capable of dealing with this poor run of form?
From a fan point of view, it's frustrating. I don't think it'll be frustrating him. I think he just needs, in his own mind, he probably just needs more game time. How's that? I'm talking about what someone else thinks. From a re-signing point of view, though, like, what do you do? Like, the guy, like you said, is a 1-2 striker, but he's missed 1-2 games, and he's missing, like, at least 1-2 opportunities that you put in front of him. It's frustrating that maybe if we were playing worse, we'd be scoring more goals like we were last year. Maybe if he played more often, we'd be scoring more goals. You know, maybe the problem's not even him. Maybe it's Dimi and Vargas, and that's the point we haven't touched on this game. But, you know, them both not playing again, you know, the ball wasn't, we weren't holding the ball as often, and we weren't controlling possession, but we were moving it a lot faster. If I was paying his wages, I'd be disappointed with the output. I'll just put it like that.
Interesting. Well, guys, it did end 2-0, and that is our second consecutive clean sheet. But I think it's quite safe to say, Luke, that if it weren't for Glenn Moss, then we probably wouldn't be... We'd be sitting here lamenting and talking about another Jets defeat.
And the VAR, yes. And VAR.
Oh, yes. Yeah, I really am not going to get into a discussion about VAR. But don't bring me into it.
They got it right, though. They did get it right.
They got it right. Yes, they got it right. 10 months too late, as it was put on the Jet stream. That was not me, but they got it late. But yeah, I'd rather them have got the one in the grand final right more so than this one. But Glenn Moss, he did have a number of shots directly at him, but some of his saves were very important, Luke, and his presence at the back. The guy's in terrific form.
He is, and we were talking earlier about, you know, what's the best thing to do for him. Like, is he looking to move into a coaching role? Is he looking for this to be his last season? Obviously, he signed the extension during the week, and you have to say he's more than earned it. There was points during that game where it felt like it was going to be a similar effort to the game against Wellington we had at the start of February, where the goalkeepers both saved each team the point for that game. Mm-hmm. There was a few shots that Lawrence Thomas saved as well that you just thought we're never going to score a second against him here. Like, we've got to make sure we don't concede. But yeah, once again, Mossy, I think there was, as you said, there was a number of saves, particularly from Honda, that went straight at him. But as we've seen in the league, week in, week out, even this weekend, that even shots that go straight at you, aren't necessarily savable or will be saved, as you'd expect. So he's definitely earned his extension, and in my opinion, he was our man of the match. Well, not even out. I think he was the best player on the park. Apparently, Fox can't have that, but I thought he was by far the standout.
Matt, did you want to add anything more about Glenn Moss's performance on the weekend?
Matt, it was great, especially that sort of sliding save that he made late in the second half. What was it? Who the Melbourne Dying striker him. That came on? Yeah, okay, that was a great save, fantastic save. But hats off again to Thomas. If you remember the save in the first half that he made with the Jakovic sort of volley sort of effort. Can't remember who had the first shot, but pretty much on the 18 first half, Jakovic has hit it, and Thomas's save sort of outstretched to his right. So both keepers played pretty well.
Not very fair. In front of Moss, though, I thought at times, Matt, we were pretty shaky. I mean, those early stages aside, I thought that the victory, you mentioned the midfield, that we just couldn't get a grip. And I don't know, the Barbaroussis in particular was causing us a fair bit of grief. Kenny Athew also had his moments as well. But the victory just seemed to have space and create opportunities to shoot with ease. And do you think that the clean sheet, we were literally defending for our season, I felt. But do you think that we need to take this victory with a grain of salt and realise that we can't be defending with that level of desperation week in, week out?
Absolutely. I don't think anyone could suggest that the scoreline would have been the same if it was Toivonen instead of Athew. I thought that their midfield ran all over us. Like, and when you've got players like Honda and even Antonis, who's arguably probably one of the form Australian midfielders of the competition this year, that goes to show. I think that Topa got beaten all ends up in the first half by Barbaroussis, and you don't see that very, very often. But I also think that, unfortunately, Bougard was lucky not to get away. And I haven't seen the replay, so I'm not going to say whether I thought it was a penalty or just a free, but the shirt pull on Honda on or about the box, it was pretty blatant, and it could have been given many other times. I know he's signed again for next year. I know he's the captain, but he's this year, if you had to pick one of the two of our centre backs, I think for your team you'd pick Topper every day of the week. And how long before, I guess, Jackson starts to get more game time, or they move Katrumbas back into a centre mid position?
Perhaps so.
Just on Katrumbas. Sorry,
yeah, Nate. Yeah, you go, mate. Go talk about Johnny.
I was just going to say, I think when he sort of got deployed further up the field around the 20-25 minute mark, I thought it was really exciting. He was not afraid to run.
I thought he was great.
He got into a lot of spaces. I thought he was, yeah, absolutely. And, we're accustomed to him playing centre-back during the Mark Jones days, or, on one of the full-back positions the last couple of years. But he is a central midfielder. That's where he's played most of his junior career. If he's going to be playing like that further up the field, I say we've got to keep him up the field, because it was... He just seemed to have some sort of calmness about him that he had a bit of flair about him up the field a bit more. And it was really exciting to see, and I really hope that we can see him in those advanced positions a bit more for the rest of the season, because, he's got his first goal for the season. We know he can score. He's done it from right back last season. So, that's another option for us in an attacking sense as well.
Yeah, that's very interesting. You talked about Nikolai Topol-Stanley before, Matt, and I'll put this question to Luke. I thought this was probably his poorest performance of the season, and that's something that really is tough to say. But I thought that he was struggling to deal with Costa Barbaroussis, and I think that the change in not that the change of formation necessarily threw him off, but he didn't look as comfortable in the back five as he did, and that almost seemed to lead into a shakier performance for him throughout the match. He wasn't terrible, but by his lofty standards, I thought it was one of the poorer matches that he's had this year.
I agree. We've become accustomed to Topper being our solid rock. You know, he can do no wrong. He's always clearing out attacks after attack. He's winning balls and everything. This game, you know, there were a few mistakes. There were a few times that he was able to be beaten easily. I think as well, you know, he's 34, 35 years old. He's played every minute this season, even during the Champions League run as well. I think he can afford to have one bad game, especially, you know, when we're getting a result like that. If we didn't win or if we didn't get the result, then you'd be saying, oh, well, great, you know, when it matters, you know, he's and, you know, not performed. But, you know, I don't think this is going to be something we'll see regularly. I think it was just a one-off, you know, given his age, given how much he's played, given the heat and everything. You know, we still didn't concede. I think, you know, we can just put it down to a one-off. He won't dwell on it. He'll be out to pick it up again next week. Well, the following week.
Yeah. Well, Matt Redenton was an early substitute, the second substitute for the Jets, and wasn't picked up during the broadcast, but he was actually the 1,000th substitute for the Jets in the A-League. It's crazy to think that we've so far had 1,000 substitutes for our club within this league. Congratulations as well. He's your honourable mention, Ivan Hasimovic off Twitter. Ivan, I know Ivan very well. He correctly picked Matt Redenton as being the player that would be that 1,000th substitute. But interesting little milestone during the match, Matt.
I'm sure he'd trade it for a premiership or a golden boot or something.
By trade,
no fun allowed.
Know that he's not getting anything for being the 1,000th. Just that
he gets an honourable mention on the Jet Stream. I'm sure he'd trade it for a toilet seat. just quickly going back to what you guys were talking about before about Katrumbas, you know, playing, you know, seeming to play really well, really forward. That was like one of the first things I noticed when I got home, because it was about that 25 minute mark, and apparently that's about when they'd sort of shifted to four at the back and pushed Katrumbas forward. But I think that Georgeski actually had probably one of his better games as well, especially in the second half with how far he was getting forward. I know that they'd sort of gone to four at the back, but if there's sort of anyone that I'd like to see maybe be given more of a chance to sort of show what they can do in the front half of the pitch, it's probably him.
It's an interesting option, and possibly at least something for Ernie to consider. Don't know. Not a fan of Johnny up top. I prefer the option that he provides for us at fullback. That overlapping option and also midfield. Sorry,
are you talking Johnny or Georgie?
Both.
Well, the reason I was talking about Johnny potentially playing, you know, centre back was because he's at least right footed.
Oh, yeah.
So you'd sort of pair him up with, you know, Topper Stanley or something. And I don't know how how Jackson would go playing at right back. At right centre back. Mm. And neither of them are particularly sort of vocal as well, which is probably what's saving, you know, Bugard's position at the moment. Next year, if it's as what we all expect, that we don't have Georgie and we've got Miller, it'll be interesting to sort of see what happens.
Absolutely. Dimi Petratos capped off a good performance, I felt, with an absolutely cracking goal. He came close a few times during the match, Luke, to pulling off a similar sort of strike. He's been much maligned in the last couple of weeks, with many calling for Dimi to be dropped or have a rest, saying that he's out of form. And that's probably warranted given the quieter matches that he had, particularly in the Asian Champions League. But he's flourished without Ronnie in the team being the central focal point during this match, more so than he did against Adelaide. And hopefully that's the confidence booster with the run into the finals that sees Dimmy recapture the form that propelled him to Socceroos status and a World Cup last year.
Yeah, you hope so. It's definitely the time to start performing, I guess. And I've mentioned a couple of times, you know, we went on this incredible run last year and Ronnie came back, and that's when we sort of started to see our performances drop off a bit. I said it before, I just don't think that Ronnie and Dimmy can play together with Dimmy out on the wing. He just gets too caught out there and Ronnie's too slow in transition for the centre of the park, whereas the last couple of weeks, you know, we saw it when both of them were rested against Melbourne City. We saw it to an extent against Adelaide. We saw it on Saturday. You know, we're able to get the counter-attacks going when our midfielders are pushing forward. Jair was making a lot of pushing runs. Mm. Joey's always one to just run at the defence. But yeah, as you said, he had a few chances. He had one in nearly the exact same position, I think around the 55th minute mark, where he tried to... There was a bit more placement in it than there was in just leather. It's just gone wide. And he had another good chance around the 85th minute where I think it was Joey's put a little chip in and he volleyed it, and Thomas's...
And the shot from halfway.
And the shot from... Yeah, that's right. The shot from halfway that's almost caught Thomas off his line. But what a hit that was. And as I said, I was watching it at West, and I've never heard the bar there scream so loud for a goal. It was incredible. Everyone has just lost for that goal.
He should start taking free kicks left-footed.
You reckon?
Well, he's put two postage stamps on left-footed. I don't actually think he's scored directly from a free kick since he's played for us. So, hey, you've got to change something up. Formation, foot you hit the ball with, whatever.
Yeah, maybe. Look, hey, I've been waiting just as long as everyone for Dimmy to hit one from a set piece. But, look, he's taken plenty of chances. It's great to actually see one pull off. It was a absolutely, to quote Ferns, thunder bastard of a strike. And certainly capped off a strong performance for the Jets. Well, a satisfying, a gritty performance for the Jets. Wouldn't you say?
Gritty is the exact word I described it to someone at work today. I said, you know, it wasn't a pretty game. It was gritty. We did what we needed to do. Our defensive work wasn't pretty. But again, it did the job. We did what we needed to do. We kept a clean sheet. We got the result.
Mm.
But would you rather play nice football or come away with the points? And
come away with
all last year, there were so many games where we weren't the better team, but we still managed to win. Arguably, we were the better team last weekend because we scored more goals, but we certainly didn't control the game, especially in that first half.
That's what we do best.
And I thought, great. Maybe tire them out, let them play with the ball in their own half or around halfway for the first 60 minutes, and then we'll hit them on the break. It's all part of Ernie's plan.
Interesting. All right, guys, before we get to the Ernie Merrick press conference, can you give me your player of the match?
I said before, for me it was Glenn Moss. He made a lot of important saves, and as Matt said, the one in the around the 80th minute with Jyingham, that was a great save. I went with Moss.
Okay. Matt, what about you?
I think I'm going to have to go with Moss as well, but honourable mention to Jair because, like I said, he's stood up for the last couple of weeks, and I know it wasn't technically his assist. It'll go into one of those secondary or thirdary assists for the first goal, but absolutely did Corey Brown, and I think he actually beat Honda as well in the lead up to that goal. So yeah, well done.
Yeah, that's Glenn Moss for me as well. And my honourable mention actually going to Steven Nugarkovic. I thought that he got into the box a lot more than I've seen him do so far this season, and it looked terrific. He had opportunities to. He was shooting from within the box, not outside the box as he has been all year, and He was almost worthy. Well, I thought he was worthy of a goal. So a great performance by him as well. Here's Ernie Merrick's press conference, thanks to Fox Sports. And here, let's now listen to his thoughts on the match.
How did you see that? It seemed like they had a bit of momentum early, but you really worked your way onto the back of it.
Yeah, I didn't think we set up very well in the first 20 minutes or so. I think we were getting really well beaten down our right side, and I had to make a couple of changes. So I put Daniel across there and I changed the backline formation slightly in midfield and moved Johnny Koutroumbas into a midfield role rather than a fullback type wing back role. And then we settled down to it. And from then on, I thought we defended really well. And we played some good football. We started hitting a few long balls, which I wasn't happy with, so then we changed that, and I think the longer the game went, the better we got, and we were very good. We didn't counter-attack the whole game, but when we did, we were very good on the counter-attack, and I think we could have scored a couple towards the end. To their credit, Victory could have scored one or two as well, but we were hard to break down, and we reduced them to long, high crosses, and our goalkeeper and our two centre-backs are too good for long high crosses, I think.
And that first goal, how did you see that?
I'm just trying to remember. we'd played a couple of 1-2s down the middle. Will you tell me, how did it go? Come on, you can answer the question as well. Remind me.
No one cares what happened. What?
The late run into the box. We had a couple of shots, didn't we? Rebounded out, and it came to... Who scored it? Koutroumbas again. So there he is. But we had a few of those, didn't we? We had a few that were kicked off the line, and we hit the post. I thought in the second half, Dimmy's shot was a bit cheeky when the goalkeeper was out his goals, and I thought that would have been a cracker. Dimmy was always threatening to get a goal because he's right-footed, but he's got a great left-foot shot, which is unusual, and he just went wide a couple of times, and then that last one was a pellet right in the corner. Roy snatched a couple. I think if he'd taken his time, he was right through with one, he finished. But it was a clean sheet for us, which is very important. Our goalkeeper, Glenn Moss, is doing really well. And I think the last time we lost in the league was about 5 or 6 games back against Perth Glory away from home. So we're on a bit of a run at the right time, and we've taken a huge step forward to getting that top six now.
Do you feel like you're right there now? You're right in the last game again?
Well, we've had a few things to deal with this year, but now we've settled the team down again. Jair's playing good football. It was a big loss losing Jason Hoffman, and Mitch left. And then Johnny was sick. He's come good again. And all of a sudden, we're playing some really good football. In the Asian Champions League, it was tough playing 3 games in 8 days, twice. But it's made us a stronger and a better team because of it, particularly in defence. And we've always got the type of boys that will score goals.
Speaking of
TV
in the second half as well, you seem to mark Bahrain and Tyler impressive victories midfield. Was that... based on the conditions in the first half,
we
just wanted to gauge and see how
that was
going.
They play virtually a diamond in the midfield, Bayern at the base, Antonis on the left, Honda on the right, and Troisi up front. And although you can't man mark, the game's really a zonal game. You have to be able to make sure those 4 don't go on the ball too much. So Dimi did a great job on Bayern, Ben on Troisi, and then we put Johnny on Honda and Steve on Antonis, and it worked a treat, because not only did they defend well, they attacked well. I have to say one complaint I do have. I don't know if you've seen our changing room, but our changing room was like a cupboard. It was like Harry Potter's changing room. It was absolutely tiny, and there was no air conditioner, so we were crammed into a tiny little place, and that's not Victory's fault. That's Cardinia Park, and it's a real disappointment that we had to change and get ready in a horrible little hole of a changing room for an A-League match. That's really not good enough. It was roasting and it was cramped. So I don't think we've ever got anything from AFL teams, ever.
That's
so,
the fourth time we played Victoria this year.
The fourth time, yeah. Well, you know, Amy Park's a great park and a great venue, but no one deserves those sort of training facilities from an AFL club. in an A-League match. That's just not good enough. So we've made a complaint with the commissioner. Hopefully something will be done about it. It was a very hot day, so to deal with that, I couldn't say anything unless we won. We've won, so now I'm complaining.
Would it be enough for you not to come back again?
Well, I just didn't. That set a tone that I didn't like. Also, we had to drive around the stadium three times before we found out where we could come in. Someone had put a barrier up and said, no, you can't come this way. So we went around three times. We were a little bit late because of that. It's just, this is disappointing. I mean, this is a great football AFL club here. Victory is a great football club. There should be a better synergy than look. I don't think the changing rooms that Victory had was much better than ours. And I this is not good enough.
About the conditions, I mean, obviously,
it was very hot and humid. I thought we were going to get drinks breaks, but someone decided we weren't, because I guess that strange thermometer they have based on the US rules, where they change footy players every 5 seconds and each play lasts for 10 seconds, but we could have done with drinks breaks. But we I think that suited us better than them, because we train in the heat. Newcastle's been pretty hot all year and we train in that all the time, so I think we were pretty hardened to the heat.
Pitch was fine.
I mean, I think they got a government grant here because they put their hand up for if we won the right to host a World Cup, and they got a government grant. So it was like they were helping out soccer. Well, they could do with changing, letting us have decent changing rooms next time. So I hope we don't come down to those changing rooms. I think I've made my point.
Do you feel like a few teams would be looking behind, looking over their shoulder at you with the form you're in?
I think so. I think we showed last year what we can do. We've struggled to get a settled team. I mean, Roy O'Donovan didn't play for the first 8 games. Jair was totally unfit. We took a while because of his visa to get him here, and then when he came he got a hip flexor injury. He's only just coming good now. Told you about Johnny and Jason being injured, Mitch going. We just have, and then the number of games we played over a 4 or 5 week period was horrendous, but everyone virtually had to do that apart from those qualifying for the group stage of the ACL. But we've come good now, we've come out the other end stronger for it, and I would say that we're going to be a threat to every team we play. As I say, we haven't lost a game now since for about 6 weeks.
From the coach's perspective, how much of a relief is that to have that continuity and to have that?
Oh, it's very important. Consistency of selection is very important. I've always stuck with a fairly strong squad, a stable group, and then one or two players like Joey Chantness. He's been out for 20-odd weeks with his foot injury, but he's coming good now. He was a bit lost when he came on, but he's coming good. He was with the Olleroos, so was Ivan Vujica, who was with the Olleroos. Johnny didn't go because of his hamstring, but he got through 60 minutes, 65 minutes of the game, so he did a good job. We've got Ronnie Vargas to come back in another. We've got a 2 week break now, so in 2 weeks he probably won't be ready, but he'll be ready for the week after that. So we're going into these last few games very strong with a good squad and scoring goals. Thanks, guys.
All right, guys. Well, we've talked about it's a split round. This round, we're not going to go into it any further, but we're now going to talk about one of the most important things that we haven't for a while, and that's the finals race. That's the A-League fantasy finals race. And I thought we'd start by
Skip this bit.
Sorry?
Let's skip it. I've fallen off the pace so badly here because I've forgotten to change my team so many times. But
can I say, I was ripped off last week.
Hang on.
I was ripped off.
We'll get to you. So, Matt, where did you finish in the A-League fantasy? I'm having a look for you.
I don't know, mate. I did a Dr. Emma and stopped playing about 7 or 8 weeks ago. I got the shits when I couldn't work out how the substitutes actually worked. Like and you couldn't just change the order on the bench.
Yes.
And cracked it.
There's opportunities to improve. There's definitely opportunities to improve. But look, we'll put it out there. It is finals time, and the Jetstream Fantasy League is still going. The fantasy just comp straight on points. We're not going to cover that today. We're going to cover the head-to-head league, of which there are 20 people in the competition. The top eight were the teams that went through, and I came first. top the table with 48 points. Bodes came second.
No wonder he wants to talk about this.
Hey, hey, I'm hosting this, boy. Bodes came second, equal on points, 45 points, with A-League FC, Craig Thompson's team. Mitchell, who also hasn't changed his team for the last, since round one. He ended up coming fourth, 2 points behind second, so he's on 43 points. I was out on top on 48, I mentioned. Luke, you got 40 with Roy O'Donovan's School of Karate. Pete, who's also forgot to change his team for at least the last month and a half, maybe two, finished on 36 points in sixth. Glenn Wilson's Summer of George finished on 33. And Anthony Scarsella, FC Novocastria, wrapped up the top eight, dropping a number of places in that last round.
I think Glenn should just win just purely based on the team name.
Jetapool FC is a good name, mate. Don't knock it. Anthony recounted, finished up the top eight. So it was 1v8, 2v7, etc., etc., etc. In the first round of knockout, it is straight knockout. I knocked out Anthony 62-39, but there were two games that came down to 1 point. Luke, Mitch beat you 54-53. Tell me how you got ripped off.
So I looked at it on the Monday and I was 7 points ahead of him. I come back the next day and he's one ahead of me.
How's that happen?
This is, I don't know. They went back and watched something and were like, no, we need to give Ninkovic more points. Because that's how he beat me.
Well, Ninkovic got double points because he was his vice captain and his captain Ronnie Vargas didn't play. So
yeah, but they found points to give Ninkovic out of nowhere. They added an extra four tackles on him.
Well, mate, you know that you should be giving your former team with the Sydney FC and Melbourne Victory players. So.
Well, that's what I've done. I subbed out McLaren this week for Barbarossa. That cost me 14 points.
That was a mistake?
That was a mistake. Well,
you've still got Taylor McLaren Regan in your team. What are you doing?
Well, he's cheap. He's cheap and only plays with three defenders.
You're not
going to
get any
defenders.
Points for him. He's left the league.
No, but I have... Well, I had Jack.
Hang on. Listen, hear that tiny violin play.
Oh yeah, yeah. All right. So Luke lost. So Luke's out. In the other upset of the round, it was actually 2v7. Summer of George with a 40-39 win over Ronnie's Rolls Royce, managed by one Michael Bodie. So he's now out, and Craig Thompson goes through beating Pete. 49-40. That takes us through to the current round of competition. And it's me versus Glenn, and I'm 45 and Glenn's 24. So I dare say that I'm through with that one. Mitch is somehow
They'll stitch you up like they stitched me up.
Mate, all of our players have played. So if there is a 22-point turnaround in this, I will quit this podcast. And that is recorded. So, and then in the other fixture as well, we've got Mitch has jagged it again and is beating A-League FC 36-27 at the moment. But I'm just having a look. They've both got Rolly Bonavazio. They've both got Jamie Young. And, well, Mitch has got Adam Taggart to play. So there is a chance. Jamie Young needs to either score a goal or pull out a worldie for Craig Thompson to get through. It could still happen, people. As long as if they keep a clean sheet, there's a chance. So otherwise, it looks like it's probably going to be me versus Mitch. And Mitch doesn't really listen to the pod unless he's on it. So I'll be interested to see if Mitch goes in and tries to change his team ahead of this final.
I'll call him during the week.
Do not call him. Anyway, so that's the A-League Fantasy. Thank you to everyone else who played in the head-to-head league. We really enjoyed having you in the comp this year. And we look forward to seeing you. I guess we'll probably do it again next year as well. But the what do we call it? Just a straight Jetstream podcast league. The ranked league is still going on. Luke, you're second in that.
I don't know how. I've had a couple of absolutely woeful weeks recently, so to still be second is incredible.
Yep, you're 40 points behind me. So you can catch up, mate. Still, Pete's still up there. Ronnie's, Bodes is still up there. Ed Greenhole is up there as well. So Blake Corbett's there. There you are, Matt. You're 10th. 10th in that one. Well done. Good on you.
And it's been a bit of a fall from grace.
That's an understatement. So very good. All right, guys. Other than that,
look, I'm no longer worried about the A-League fantasy. I'm more worried about this run into the finals. Since I predicted it 3 or 4 weeks ago, we're looking pretty good, and if we end up coming in fourth, which we're only 5 points off, then doesn't that mean that I get that little clip in the intro from now on?
Hey, what?
Too much optimism here. Dr. Ember would not like this amount of positivity.
What the hell?
Feel good.
All right, we thank you everyone for listening this week. We hope that you've enjoyed it. We won't be back on Thursday for a preview because, as I mentioned, it is the split round. The next, you never know. We might end up doing a special preview ahead to the remaining six rounds.
We could talk about how bad Central Coast are.
Well, we'll be doing that on the Thursday next week when we preview the F3 Derby. So until then, thank you very much. Make sure you subscribe if you're not already. And until then, go the Jets.
Grab myself, Jokers.
Go the Jets.
What the hell is this intro that you want?
Mate, you're the one that said it on air that when I talked about it, 4 or 5 weeks ago on the pod, that if they ended up coming, maybe I said third, actually. Maybe I said third.
Mate, I say a lot of things. I say a lot of things.
You said that if it came true, that we would clip it and we would put it as the intro because I predicted it 4 or 5 weeks ago. But I'm pretty sure I said third.
Oh, well, there you go. Oh, I'm down, Benjamin.